Te doy la bienvenida al podcast Vivir desde el Ser, un programa sobre cuerpo, mente y alma en el que abordo el desarrollo personal desde perspectivas diferentes. Quiero compartir contigo temas de conciencia, espiritualidad y astrología que me apasionan, las emociones y su relación profunda y ancestral con el trauma, la conexión con el cuerpo, la evolución de las relaciones conscientes y mucho más. Mi nombre es Guiomar Ramírez Montesinos, soy astróloga, psicóloga, coach transformacional, escritora y fundadora del proyecto consciente Vivir desde el Ser. Este episodio está grabado en inglés. In this episode, I have a conversation with my friend and therapist, Liz Nagel, on adrenal fatigue, something that is very common these days, on burnout, and also what that has to do with the dark night of the soul and our soul's evolution. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Well, hi, everybody. This time I'm doing a talk in English with my friend, colleague, and therapist, Liz Nagel, who's a naturopath, a quantum healer, an energy healer, a mentor, and so many other things, and my go-to person when I need a bit of energy healing, which I find very, very useful and practical. So thanks, Liz, for being here.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here. Hi, everyone.
So the reason for the talk is that, well, we met up yesterday and we started chatting, and then I said, like, gosh, we got to do this talk on adrenal fatigue, burnout, and the dark night of the soul. Because it just dawned on me, it's the same thing. The dark night of the soul, the famous dark night of the soul, when people come into their being, blah, 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 it does come from adrenal fatigue. It is like a consequence of adrenal fatigue, that burnout that we get of like the way we've been living before up until now is just, it's finished. There's no more of it. And now you suddenly get this crash, you fatigue, you burn out, and something new comes out. If you let it, right?
Yeah, if you let it, yeah. I always think of things in terms of energy and frequency and vibration. So for me, that's where the problem starts, in the energetic fields. And then it kind of gains density into the physical. So for me, the energetic issue happened first, and then the adrenal fatigue happened as a consequence of that. But they're interlinked, you know.
Yeah, which makes which makes total sense to me, because Pluto is going over my sun. I have sun at 29 degrees 40 something, and Pluto has just gone over it, and I was like, okay, let's see what's happening. I know this is a huge transformation. Cool, nothing's happening. And then as it passed by, went into Aquarius, I crashed. Like, I totally crashed. It started out with an allergy, and that left me energyless. And, you know, I've been taking care of myself, doing acupuncture, energy sessions with you, I don't know, taking supplements, etc. And it sort of got better, and then I crashed again, and I realized it was adrenal fatigue. And it was just like, no energy whatsoever, totally crashed. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, I know Pluto going over your sun is a great identity shift. It's really coming into your power. So I kind of knew that was going to happen, but I had no clue of how it was going to happen.
Yeah, I have Pluto on my midheaven right now since the 16th, so since Friday. And it's just passing over that and activating that. So I'm kind of sitting here waiting, waiting for the crash or the slap or the push, really push. I'm gonna say it's gonna be a push. But that could be any time over the next while. But it's just interesting. I've kind of got this sense of excitement about it. I'm currently not suffering with fatigue. I had a day of absolute flatness, but I'm hearing a lot of people saying they're just, you know, absolutely exhausted.
Exactly, which is part of, like, a big part of why we're having this conversation, right? Because not only do I have adrenal fatigue, and I, like, for me it's obvious, it's Pluto going over my sun, blah blah blah, but the thing is that a lot of people around me, as you're saying, I see they're having these adrenal issues. They're being like extremely fatigued, extremely tired. And I would like to dive deeper into like the biology of this and of course the energy of it. And, you know, we can go more and more into the energy part of it, but let's start out with the biology of it, right?
Okay. You want me to talk about the biology? I think you probably know more than me at this point.
Yeah, I can start. But so and then on the biology side, what I realized is that, well, in traditional Chinese medicine, the kidneys have to do with the ancestors. It's the water, right? And I've always had a very low water energy, like yin energy. And so I've been treating myself for that for the last 3 years, almost weekly. So I was thinking, you know, I got it pretty much under control. You know how these things work. You think it's under control. You think it's getting better. But the truth was, I could see like my skin was very dry. And it was getting, and you know, what was going on? There's something out of balance. So I tried to take supplements and so forth. I realized the water I was taking was cleansing me rather than hydrating me. So I started taking seawater with my water, as well as a bit of bicarbonate and lemon to help out. And that's kind of helped out. But still, things weren't going well, and too well, because I had like a lot of muscle pains. So my fascia was dry, right? And all these issues, I know, stem from ancestral trauma. You know, there's a lot of ancestral trauma. You know, the kidney and the water element in Chinese medicine has to do with the ancestral trauma. So I have a lot of ancestral trauma in my family. When I was little, I grew up sensing and feeling of all of that, and I was overwhelmed by everything I felt. I was born to two very intellectual parents who had no idea what emotions were. So basically they shunned me and they said, look, you know, sort yourself out. We don't want to do anything with this emotional stuff that you're going through. It's like, it's your issue, no? So I was left to my own sensing and feeling a lot of informational trauma from my ancestor, dreaming with it, fearing it without nothing really happening around me. So I would eventually attract attacks from the other kids. I was bullied and everything. So basically my childhood was a lot of suppressed emotion, a lot of suppressed anger, unbeknownst to me, a lot of anxiety, a lot of social anxiety too. So I was very, very nervous and anxious inside. So basically my kidneys were on overdrive. And as I got older, it started getting a little bit out of balance, but I'm talking about older, like after my 30s, it started to get a little bit better. I was like, I wasn't really coping with it. What I was doing, I was working with it. So I started cycling. I really pushed myself to the limit in so many occasions. So all this, what was doing, it was just, you know, draining my vital energy, basically, because the kidney element is about the water element is about the vital energy. So I was just draining myself out. Then I was pushing it at work. So I was doing like a whole bunch of road cycling, going to events and so forth and competing. And then I was working long hours in a very, very busy, I was in the pharmacy. So I was really pushing myself to the limit, you know, and then I finally left there, and then I got another job, and then I created a magazine, and then I pushed it there too. And I was very much out of myself and, you know, connected with the collective and not myself. So I was just like pushing the limit all the time, all the time, all the time. And even though after, and then I set up my own therapy center. So I was with, and I was making a magazine at the same time. So I was working like from 8 in the morning to 12 at night. So pushing myself until 2016, where I say, okay, let's stop. Let's go back to me. And since then, that's 7 years now, been slowly taking more and more care of myself and not exerting myself and all of that. But the body has memory. And then suddenly everything started, you know, coming out. And it's coming out now with Pluto going over my sun. And now it's when I'm crashing. And now it's when I'm seeing, you know, the result of having abused my body and my energy for so many years.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet, you know, like everything happens for a reason. Like we couldn't have had this conversation, you know, 10 years ago, because you wouldn't have been ready to hear it. So it's almost like you had to go through that to get to this point of the crash to get you to sit up and do it, you know, do something seriously, make a change. And we all come to those moments of, you know, tower moments or death moments or near death experiences or whatever they are, whatever the death is, it's the death of something with you. It's adrenals or, you know, just energy. Something always happens to just bring us back to, okay, hang on a minute. I'm here, right now. What do I want to do? Where do I, you know, what do I want to bring into my next step in my life? You know, what am I going to invest in? There is only me, really. There is only me in this game that we're playing. And, you know, the magazines, the businesses, the jobs, the money, the everything, even the relationships, nothing else will exist if I don't exist. Everything else is dependent upon my health and well-being. And so that's why, I always say I'm the center of my universe. And so, yeah, so you kind of, you have to get to this. This is the dark night of the soul that we were coming to. But, you know, it's like you have to get to that point of crash, complete breakdown almost. Well, do you have to get there? Wouldn't it be so much nicer if you didn't have to get to that breakdown point to make the change?
Yeah, but look, so I'm a Capricorn, so Capricorns have to do with beliefs, and I have my moon and Mercury also in Capricorn, and so it has, and it's in third house, which is the sign of the mind, you know, this house of the mind. And even though I've been working on myself since I was 8 years old, first I was just like, you know, whipping myself and and treating myself poorly, and feeling guilty about everything. But I've been working on myself since that age, and I've always had a very clear perspective on things. So I was like, I was, you know, listening, seeing YouTubes and people say, "Oh, the dark night of the soul," and I was like, I've never had such an experience. You know, I don't know what is the dark night of the soul. You know, this is like, what I could see is that there was resistance. So there's a lot of resistance in the dark night of the soul, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I was like, well, that hasn't happened to me. And I was like, okay, maybe you don't need to crash and have a dark night of the soul to have that experience of coming into your true power, no? And I was like, very confident, yeah, not my stuff. And okay, sure. I realized, no, it happens. Why does it happen? Because I was stuck in beliefs that do not help my evolution. Like, for example, I tend to father a lot as a Capricorn, more than mother. Mother would be like more cancer energy. I tend to father a lot. I tend to protect. I tend to help out. I tend to do things for people. And even though I know I don't have to do it like I did it before, and I'm better at it, I was better at it, still, I still got myself into fathering people, right? And that's the wrong mentality. And as I father, even though I tried to ask for help, I knew that I had to do that. So I did. It obviously didn't come from the right place. So I obviously was pushing my energy and giving my energy to more than myself. I was giving it to other people.
Yeah.
Right. And to hold up other people.
Yes. Yes.
And I think this is important.
I do. And it's just, you said fathering is the wrong thing, but I actually don't think it is, because there's so much of that fathering energy in you. It's obviously what you're meant to bring forward with you. And, you know, asking for help is kind of not a typical male thing to do. So that's a very good thing to do with your fathering, is to ask for help. But I also think it's more, yeah, it is. It's more about fathering yourself, you know. it's being that, I mean, we often say we have to be our own parent, but maybe you just need to be your own father for a while, and do all of those, you know, minding and supporting, and not so much the nourishing, that's the mother, isn't it? But it's yeah, the kind of the structural stuff that a father would give you, that you need to kind of give to your
self,
child self.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense, because like, so when I first, 2016, all my energy to me, I start healing myself, you know, not giving out so much energy outside. And then 2017, 18, I start developing the inner child work, the inner baby work, which is really mothering yourself. It's really taking care of your inner baby, of your body, as if it were a baby. And that's four or five years into that. So the baby's growing up and now the baby has to be taken care of by the father.
Mother. Yeah, because that is, you know, that's the age when the fathers become more involved with the kids, because then, you know, the mother isn't, they're not as tied to their mother, and the father becomes more important. So this is the right time. So it's, yeah, it is about keeping that fathering instinct, but turning it in, because there is only you, Gail. There is only you. You know, everybody else is just projections. And if you're busy trying to fix out there, you know, it's like that analogy of having a spot on your face and trying to clean it off the mirror or the screen. You know, it's not going to actually do anything if you're only fixing the projections. You've got to, well, a little bit of both. Maybe at least the projection is there. It will help you to see it. And then, you know, and then you do the internal work. Yeah.
And what I saw is that, so last year I bought a house up north. So, you know, houses structure is very Saturnian. My Saturn rules Capricorn, is in my fourth house, the house of my base, of my emotions, of my home. So it kind of makes sense. And also last Saturn return, so last time Saturn came into my fourth house, I got this house. So it's kind of like, okay, so I get a house every time I get a Saturn return. Interesting. So, but a house has to do with security. And my Saturn is in Pisces, and Pisces is a water sign. And it obviously has to do with the ancestors. So it kind of makes sense. Like, I'm giving structure to this ancestral energy. And so, of course, we live in a duality plane. So what happens is that to give structure to myself and to all this ancestral energy, first I have to feel the opposite. I have to feel the insecurity.
Yeah.
So I wanted to reform the house. I'm reforming it, and it's taking much, much longer than it should. And that has triggered everything in me. It has triggered fear. It has triggered anger. It has triggered insecurity. Like I feel unstable. And I was saying, okay, this is because the feng shui. So I'm connected to my house. And because the house is, everything is upside down, then the feng shui is all wrong. So because of the house, here we are outside, right? Because the house isn't in its place, because it's not finished, then I'm unstable, and I can't be unstable until the house is finished. And of course, this is the builder's fault, because he's not finishing it. So because of him and because of the house, I'm not stable. So I was outsourcing.
Oh my God, Gail, how many stories have you got going on, girl?
Yeah. But the thing is, even though I know, I was like, no, this has to do with me. This has to do with me. So the insecurity would come up, the anger would come up. And I was like, I want to kill this guy. You know, I want to go catch him by the throat and tell him, please finish my house, you know, do the work.
Okay. It's the other way around, though, because there is only you. You have to finish the work, but actually just do the work as it crops up. Yeah. And he will do it in your house and you will both be finished at the same time.
I know, but this is the fun thing. Like, I know this, Liz. I know this. So I was like, looking inside, so I see things, and I see like, okay, there's the, my Mars is going over my eighth house, so it's triggering this ancestral issues doing that has to do with relationships.
All in your head.
No, but in part, no. It's like yes and no. So there's a part that, yes, it was in my head. And there was a part that, no, it is. Okay, so there is something being healed here ancestrally, and that has to happen, right? And it has to do with my parents' relationship. It has to do with my previous relationships. Like, there's so many similarities. Then somebody else's relationship at the same time that mimics my parents' relationships. So it's all these relationships issues and, the also communication issues on my behalf. So I'm learning this. I'm dealing with that. I'm just open to whatever healing is happening and I'm accepting it. So that's going fine. So what I'm trying to say is that all this had to happen.
Yeah.
Right? All this has to happen. Right? Okay. But then yeah. I was still feeling unstable, uneasy. Okay, we did the healing. We did all that stuff. Okay, let's finish. Let's go. No, right? Let's finish. So all the healing's done of my ancestors and their relationship issues. And now what? Okay, communication. Let's work on the communication. So I communicate more and blah, blah, blah. And then, okay, it's finished. Now what? And then I realized, so I come up with this exercise, which is really fun. It's a very efficient exercise. It's like, what are you frustrated about? So what's going on in your life that is like you're putting all your energy into it? And I think this is the key. So we're talking about energy issues. We're talking about ancestral energy because the basic energy in one comes from that water element. So we're talking about energy issues. I'm draining my energy because I'm putting all my energy into something, which is basically a pattern that I've always carried. It's just the situation is making it obvious. So what is it that I'm putting all my energy into and nothing is happening? It's all the contrary. It's taking longer. So I wanted to finish early. It's taking longer. So not only am I putting all my energy in there, but I'm actually pushing that which I want away with my energy. So this is like, what's going on here? So the exercise is then go back into me and go, okay, so what fear is motivating me putting that energy into that situation? And it just dawned on me, it's fear of insecurity. Because I feel insecure, because I'm insecure, because the house is upside down, because I don't know when he's going to go, when it's going to finish, I don't know what's going to happen. I feel insecure. And I'm trying to make, putting my energy into that, trying to make that into something that will give me back security.
So and that it was never like, can.
It never can. Yeah. And the more can. It goes away, the more it's a signal that you have to take your energy away from it.
Yes.
And give you the basic need that situation that you were trying to obtain or achieve from that situation.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that brings me to what I was starting to explain yesterday about that this life comes to you. Whatever is, on the path for you, on your road, the destination is coming to you. You don't have to go to it. You don't have to do anything to get to it. The destination is always coming to you. So I'll just explain it for your listeners. I was driving to a friend to Valencia a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in the car and I'm on the motorway and in plenty of time, no rush, no hurry. But I'm thinking, okay, we'll get to Valencia around 12:30. We'll park. I'm trying to envisage where I'll park near the central market, and we'll go in there and we'll have lunch, and then we'll do this and then we'll do that. And this is all going on in my head, calmly, not like rush, rush, rush. But all of a sudden, I was kind of, two chevrons behind a white van, so I couldn't really see either side of it. And I suddenly just kind of sat back in the seat of the car and thought, Liz, you're not going anywhere. You're just sitting here. You're just sitting here. It's an automatic car, so I don't even have to do anything. I'm just sitting here, like playing with the steering wheel. It's like a Cary Grant movie, you know. It's like, you know, when you see them on the blue screen and they're just sitting there pretending to drive, and the movie's coming towards them. I thought, that's life. That's it. You know what? Valencia is coming to me. All I have to do is sit here. I'm on the motorway. I can't, you know, I have to get to Valencia. And even 12:30 is coming to me, you know, 12:30 is coming. Whether Valencia and 12:30 will coincide, I don't know, but 12:30 is coming to me, Valencia is coming to me, you know, all the things are coming to me. And I only am sitting here. And suddenly this sense of peace and calm and security, trust, I'm held. It's like I felt my ancestors and everything at my back, just holding me, got a comfort, you know, that I could lean back against everything that ever was, had brought me to this point. Everything that has ever happened in anybody else's life, in, you know, in the whole universe, has brought me, little old me, to this point. And here I am sitting here, and the road is ahead of me.
Yeah.
And suddenly everything started to move just a little bit slower. And I could see the, you know, the opportunities to overtake. I could see the cars in the mirror behind me. I could see the signposts, you know, to, you know, how much more I have to go. And everything just calmed down, slowed down, and everything was perfect in the moment.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
You know.
You're totally present.
Totally present, and everything was perfect. And that's what I'm hearing you talking, and it's like, and you're making all these connections, which is you, and it's wonderful and it's fascinating, but oh my God, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. You've got all these stories connecting dots, which is wonderful. But if you could do it in more slow motion, it wouldn't be so exhausting. Maybe.
Totally, totally.
And, you know, the destination is your house up north, and it being ready, and you can move in and whatever. That's the destination. But the journey there is where the growth is, not in the destination.
Yeah.
It's not about completing your house. It's about the journey. It's about sitting back and seeing the opportunities that are coming to you to deal with these things. And if you're sitting back, you have this little higher viewpoint, you know, the higher perspective. So things don't just come in and overwhelm you. They'll come in that little bit of slow motion that you can see, okay, you know, this one first, I'll deal with this. This one today. Because the other thing was, when I got to Valencia, I'm literally just in that like four lane bit heading down to the first roundabout that's freaking nuts. And, you know, I'm trying to go that way and all the traffic's coming and going. And my phone rang. And it was a call I had to take. It was somebody needed an answer there and then. Couldn't wait. So I had to, but I was in this like, okay, 2 seconds. I saw a spot, I pulled over. And just as I pulled over and into the spot, a woman came out and said, you can't park there. You have to reverse. And okay, that's fine. I reversed, you know, nothing overwhelmed me. Previously, like, I'm not used to driving in cities anymore. That would have been like, oh my God, where are we going? Pull in. I was so calm. I found the spot. I reversed. I took the call. I gave the information and took off again. Like, no panic, no nothing. And this is like, I just did one thing at a time. Hang on a minute, I'll pull over. Hang on a minute, I reverse. Hang on a minute, I'll answer, you know, or yes, I can answer your question now. Okay. Everything had its time and everything happened perfectly because I just was able to see the priority in the moment, the one thing, rather than be overwhelmed by everything. So that, you know, so just sit back, know that your ancestors, however troubled their stories are, got you, little old you, right to this point, which is not a bad place to be. And you are secure because you have that at your back.
That's very important. So to have that sense that all my ancestors are behind me, no, that's a very important feeling. I totally agree. So just to finish the exercise, right? So once I detected the security, no, but it really is pertinent. So once I detected that it was, I was insecure, I was feeling insecure, then what I had to do was father myself, give me the space, the structure, the holding, the security that I need. And it's just as soon as I realized that, I just my energy just flipped around and it went towards me and is, I make me secure. I make me secure. And that was it. That's all I needed. Well, a little bit of ashwagandha and B12 helped too, I must admit. I really recommend ashwagandha. Anyway,
yeah, so. It is wonderful. It is. And did you get the nettle seed? Are you taking the nettle seed?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Yeah, they're very good for kidneys. Very good for kidneys.
Yeah. So what I'm trying to also say about this is that you might know, like I did trust universe of the process I'm going through. So I just, you know, helped myself through the process, or I'm still helping myself through the process, but I'm much better now. So I wasn't like scared about the process. Like I was in that trusting space, but still, my old patterns, and I think this is important to convey, my old patterns were doing their thing, right? So still I was stuck in that situation, even though I know, even though, but I'm not punishing myself. I'm not feeling bad or guilty about it. I'm just being totally honest and overt about it. It's like, look, I've crashed. I know all this stuff, but here I am, crashed. I need help. I can't do this stuff, right? Yeah. So I'm being honest. So I think it's important to accompany the process because like we know the theory, but unless you have a felt experience of it, it's just still theory.
Yeah. Yes.
And,
totally.
And you can't really, and you can't force yourself into that.
No. And it even then it's not like I didn't know that if I was in the moment before that trip to Valencia, you know, I've been talking about it for a long time that, you know, we're on like a treadmill. And the movie of life is just passing us by, but we're not actually moving. I've been saying that for years. And I knew it on so many levels, but it just suddenly like dropped another level.
And exactly.
It's like, this is like a penny getting stuck in the tube and it just, you know, and another layer of understanding. But, you know, just as I said earlier about things, getting blocked maybe in the energy field and then becoming more and more dense as it comes down into the material and the physical. It happens the other way around as well. You know, as you're fixing the physical, it starts to filter back up to the energetic. And sometimes that can be instantaneous, but often there is a process.
Yeah. And that leads me a bit to manifestation and all that stuff. So I'm going to just like do a little sidetrack here to get back afterwards into the subject, but I think it also has to do. So it's about manifestation. So manifestation is basically like you creating the reality that you want. No. And I find that I'm a manifester, but I tend to be a slow manifester. Like things manifest, but I have to have a lot of patience for that to manifest. No, so then I'm thinking like as you say, my mind just, you know, connects the dots and jumps around and makes all these as you're talking, you know, I'm like building all this
picture
in my mind of the situation. So you know, I have a friend who has a G Wagon. It's not a cheap car. And it's a Mercedes G Wagon. It's a fully automatic car. And I got to drive it the other day. And this, it's very interesting. This friend, I call her my abundance guru because she's a very good manifester. And so I'm driving the car and I'm kind of like figuring out as, you know, I'm curious. So while she's sleeping, I'm figuring out how all the automatic parts work. And I realized that, oh, this is cool. You can actually like put, you can take the foot off the pedal, right? And you put this automatic and then you press these buttons and it's like, this is the max speed that would go to. Like up to here, this is normal. Many cars have it. But since it's automatic, it has this sensor. So you put in like how many chevrons do you want distance from the next car, right? So 1, 2, 3. So I go, okay, 2 chevrons. And then what it does, basically, it just tailgates the other person. So you said 2 chevrons, so it does a 2 chevron distance. If you're going faster, it's wider. If it's a truck, it's going to be even further away. And so it regulates itself. So basically, you just put this top speed, take your feet off, and go like this. So this is the experience you had. And yeah. You were going to Valencia. It was because of this full automation. So I don't have to be like with a stick shift, you know, accelerating, decelerating, regulating the speed. It just, it's going to do it. All you have to do is do this. So it's like, wow, look how cool and how symbolic this is. No, if everybody had a car like this, would we be able to manifest better? Because we are already having like sort of an artificial experience of what it's like to be in the flow, since you have less more energy going into driving. So I don't know, but metaphorically, I think it's kind of cool to see.
Very cool. Yeah. You know, how it's like virtual reality, which is, you know, basically what this life may be.
Exactly.
I'm not going to say it is, but I think it is, but you know, maybe a virtual reality game. And you know, I'm in my avatar and I'm going around picking up wisdom or, you know, tools and learnings and teachings all along the way and meeting interesting people and, you know, in other interesting characters. But it's my experience is, you know, whatever way I turn, the game appears before me and this bit fades away, you know, and that's what it's like. It's what I'm focused on comes into focus.
Yeah.
Detail. And the rest kind of blurs out. And so yeah, it really is just, where am I pointing myself? Where am I, as Deborah says, where am I putting my focus, my energy, and my money? What am I investing in? My energy, my focus, and my money. What am I investing that, all of that, in what I want to bring forward into my future, my heaven on earth, my, you know, do I really want to invest anything in stuff that I don't want? I mean, really.
Exactly. But this is the thing. So being a Capricorn, low Capricorn has to do with things that are not easy, things that take time, right? So if you add that up to ancestral trauma and CTPSD, so complex PTSD is basically attachment trauma. So when I was little, my mom was not the best to take care of all my basic needs, which is obvious if you know her history and how she was born, right? So nothing to...
No blame, but yeah.
To blame there, but that's how it was. So because I'm hyper aware, I've always been hyper aware, like, you know, and also a people pleaser, my energy has always been scattered everywhere, right? So when you stop being hyper aware, when you start focusing your energy, which is high Capricorn, when you stop thinking that things have to be hard and take a long time, when you start learning that things can be easy, like my abundance guru, you know, she makes things easy. She has the ability to choose the path of less resistance and make things easy. Of course she goes through things, but she does a great job at it. And I'm like, this is why she's my abundance guru, because I just observe like, oh wow, look, she gets things done and it's easier than what I'm doing, no?
Yeah.
So I think it's a lot about like when you stop scattering your energy and start focusing it on only where you want to go without forgetting about yourself.
You can't forget about yourself, because you are the vital part of, you know, you are the kingpin in your universe, and everything and everyone depends on you being healthy and in alignment and balance.
Yeah.
And so you cannot forget about you. And it's not selfish, because actually the selfish thing is to go off interfering in everybody else's thing and not giving a shit about yourself, because then you're not taking care of your universe, you know, or your energy field at least.
Yeah. But I get distracted.
Yeah, we all do, because it's so much it's so much more kind of fun to interfere in other people's stuff. It's so much easier. Like if you hand me an essay that you've written, I'll be really good at editing it and finding the errors and finding maybe another way of saying something, or, you know, I'd be a very good editor. But don't ask me to write the essay. You know, that's really, we're all very good at editing other people's lives and seeing the issues and, you know, knowing them better than they know themselves. Yeah. But they know us better than we know ourselves also, because we're not, nobody is kind of actually looking in. I need to know myself better. Yeah. And I need to, and to do that, I have to listen. And to do that, I have to be still sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
And just sit back.
And that takes me to, and we are scared of being still. Because like one of these, a typical pattern. So there's the polyvagal theory. Stephen Porges' polyvagal theory talks about the nervous system and how there's the ventral vagal and the dorsal vagal. So ventral vagal has to do with social connection, with feeling good, with you know, connecting heart to heart. Basically, it's higher self. It's when we're in ventral vagal, we're connected to our higher self, because we are in coherence. What I feel, think, and do are in the same line, so to say. Dorsal vagal, we could say, is like, well, so I like kind of adapted Stephen Porges' theory to make it more relatable. So dorsal vagal, from my perspective, is incoherence. It's ego. It's fight, flight, freeze, fawn. But I kind of changed the names a little bit. So there's fight, flight, and then there's chicken without a head. And then there's procrastination, and then there's freeze, right? So, because I think it's more relatable, right? So in these last four stages, like, people just fluctuate up and down normally, right? So that's why it turns into a chicken without a head, basically. It's like procrastination, immobilization, freeze response, and then go fight, but then fall back into procrastination or fleeing. Or so you're going up and down all the time, basically. No? So chicken without a head is what we, it's like type A personality. They're doers. They're like all the time out there, things done. Yeah, busy, busy, never stop, never rest. It's not good to rest. I'm going to take caffeine. I'm going to take all types of stimulants. Or how can I biohack myself to go, 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 do, do, do.
Yeah. No. Smoking coffee. Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's so unhealthy. When you're with chicken without a head structurally, so basically it's you're hanging on all your back muscles, because you're physically, structurally tilted forward, because your head is going before your body. So if you see somebody, if you drop a line from the ear, ankle, or or you drop a line to the ankle, you'll see, that the ear is actually forward and on in front of the line, right? So that, what it's doing, it's putting a lot of pressure on all the backside, which starts here in the forehead. So this is very tight. There's no movement in the scalp. You can get tinnitus. And it runs all the back, which is has to do with the water element in Chinese traditional medicine.
Yeah.
And basically, you're exerting your adrenals. So sooner or later, you're going to crash. If you're running and running and going like chicken without a head, trying to get things done, why? Why are you doing that? Because you've not had, so trauma, these are trauma responses. And trauma is too much too soon or too little too long. So when you don't get enough caring or love or support from your parents, you end up being a chicken without a head.
Yeah.
And then you start, and your energy comes from your ancestors until it's finished. And that's when you crash. And when you get adrenal fatigue and you get burnout, you start getting all the immune diseases, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, the adrenals are like a vital part of the endocrine system. So, you know, and once one bit is out, the whole thing goes out, and that's, you know, everything.
Exactly, because exactly. So what happens then is that people get these, I don't know, like Lyme disease or
fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. All of those.
All of those. There's tons of other autoimmune diseases. And what does that have? What does that do? It makes you, it crashes you. Basically, you have no energy left. You can't move. Some people are literally, I remember one person telling me that she, for 1 year, had to lay in bed with the windows closed, and her mom had to go and feed her every day.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that like proverbial? It's like taking care of your inner baby, literally. Your mom takes care of you as if you were a baby. Yeah. And that's when she gets, that's her dark night of the soul. That's when she comes out the other side a different person.
Yes. Yes.
So this is why I realized,
what did you realize? Go ahead.
That the adrenal fatigue, the burnout, is the dark night of the soul.
Yes.
So I like to find like the physical, physiological explanation of these spiritual facts that we've all heard of, but tend to be end up being very conceptual.
Yeah.
It's difficult to bring down into the body.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's, I think it is adrenal fatigue and that, but it's also any kind of existential threat to ego, really, or, you know, and I'm not vilifying ego. It's a vital part of our processes and how we navigate this world, but we have to it needs to be in balance, you know, to be healthy. Anything that's out of balance is unhealthy. And anything, but the trouble is that any threat to ego is seen as existential, you know.
Yeah.
Every tiny threat is seen as existential. And so the ego is terrified of death because it's not going to live on forever, you know, the way our higher self does or our consciousness does. And so it's desperate to hold on to its grip on life and control everything as much as possible. And so it's always careful, 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 careful. We don't want to do anything that might, you know, endanger us. And so, but it's that level of ego that has to die.
Exactly. And normally while we're alive. Exactly. But normally, at this great point, so we have a mutual client who's crashing, and she just doesn't let herself go. So there's a reason for it, right? But she doesn't let herself go. She keeps on resisting. She keeps on trying to be better. She keeps on fighting and does not surrender. Okay, so normally your body collapses and you fall into the freeze response. So in freeze response, basically you're immobilized, and it's like when you play, when an animal plays dead. So when an animal plays dead, the animal is not playing. It's a total systems shutdown, and is there to conserve energy and then to spring back out, you know, like a gazelle being caught by a lion. So the gazelle springs back up as soon as the lion like looks another way.
Takes a breath. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a breath. Right. So, but to be able to touch rock bottom, we need to surrender to what is. But if there's so much insecurity, and insecurity is related to the water element. So when there's so much insecurity in your life, because, for example, you've been physically abused when you were a kid, like is this case that we're talking about, no? This woman was physically abused by her mother. So she's always been, you know, under alert, trying to survive the situation. So it's so difficult for her to surrender and let go. So her ego is helping her not to surrender, because if you surrender, the person that's supposed to take care of you will kill you from the ego's perspective.
Yeah.
So how
yeah.
can I surrender? How can I trust life? I can't trust life. I can't trust anybody. So it's this
yes.
mindset that is makes it so difficult for some people to really let go and surrender. And that's why I think they have to go to these extremes of the body just totally crashing and creating an autoimmune disease or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have that. I mean, I honestly think our whole purpose for, well, one of the goals, maybe not the only goal, but is to learn to trust.
Yeah.
To learn to trust
deeply
in life.
Deeply,
100%. And trust ourselves, trust the universe, because we are the universe. We are the, you know, the ocean in the drop. We are the drop in the ocean and the ocean in the drop. Go on. You can't hold it.
No. So I trusted universe. And as the years went on, like I trusted more and more and more. So I trust in the process. I trust in, but obviously there's a little layer of trust, which it just didn't go through. So this is why I think extreme situations help us build that trust.
Yes.
And I don't know if you want to share yours, your extreme situation, the accident.
The car accidents. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Again, you helped me to interpret it. So I was in this car accident and I'm driving in a right-hand drive car in Spain. So I'm on the, you know, I'm on the passenger side, and there's nobody in my passenger seat, which would have been the driver's seat. And it's just two lanes going opposite directions, and a car from the other side came over the center white line, and I saw it coming kind of in slow motion, but I didn't really react. I thought they'll see and they'll pull back in, but they didn't. And so I, at the last moment, kind of swerved, and she hit the back of my car. I went down. Anyway, the car was written off, but I walked away with just a bruise because I wasn't on the driver's side. The really interesting thing was that the car behind me.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is that you had lost your partner,
yes,
your life partner, a few years back. And that car
earlier.
Was gifted to you by him.
Yeah, yeah. He had helped me to he'd found that car for me. And, you know, it was a lovely convertible. And I loved that car, and I brought it from Ireland. And I always felt he was sitting in that passenger seat. That's the bit you're getting to. Yeah. So I had always felt his presence there in that passenger seat. And then this car came, hit that side of the car and demolished the car. But I wasn't hurt. Okay, can I move on to the other bit? The car behind was the exact same car. Right-hand drive, exact same car. Except that there was somebody sitting in the passenger seat, which should have been the driver's seat. And the car that had hit me then went on to hit them. And she was tragically killed. But her husband, who was driving, stepped away also without an injury. And it was, yeah, it was very surreal. It was very surreal. And a friend of ours said to you that the death of the woman opened a portal and the spirit of my husband left, my partner left at the same time. He took that door out.
Yeah. And you were at a point there that you were terribly dissociated by the trauma of the accident. You were totally like spaced out for a while.
Yeah.
And it was like a point for you to choose, right?
It was, yes. I mean, yeah, it shook me really to my core. And I can you hear those bells? No.
Okay. Zoom doesn't let it filter, but there are bells sounding in the background. How interesting. Yeah.
yes, again. Okay, because that night, you and another friend came up to my village and we had dinner together. And you said to me, you know, this is your rebirth day. You were reborn. And literally, you hadn't even finished that sentence. And some people in the corner started singing happy birthday to their friend. In you know, another table, totally different situation. They started just singing happy birthday over there. And now we're talking about it again and the bells are ringing.
Yeah, so, it's like,
so that was and it did shake me. It was like, I mean, I've had series of shakes. It's a bit like the penny dropping, you know, just something that makes you just surrender another little bit and another little bit. It's like I really have no control. I mean, any thought that I have control is so freaking insane. That, you know, I just give up. I give up. I'm here. How lucky am I? You know, another chance to peel a layer of the onion, another chance to get to know myself at another deeper level and to prioritize again, because after my partner died, it's like my life completely changed. Like, who am I? It's that existential thing. Well, if not in relationship, who am I?
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that was one level of getting to know myself and become myself. And then the car crash was like another layer. Oh yeah, sorry, but after he died, it was like suddenly my priorities were changed. You know, I suddenly realized all that mattered really is connection. All that matters is our connection, heart to heart connections. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Just connection with everything.
With everything, yeah.
And everything that has happened to me since, even before, obviously, but like that was a conscious awakening. And then the car crash was another conscious awakening. It's like another layer of getting rid of what didn't benefit or what wasn't important.
Yeah.
You know, because after he died, I was very aware of what was important. The connection thing, because I saw what his legacy was, all the connections that he had made.
And you're a super Gemini, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Gemini first house, ascendant. It's like super Gemini.
Super Gemini. So obviously, yeah. I mean, I come from a family of twins, you know, it's like there's nothing but twins except me on my own. So after that, then, you know, as the years go by, as you start to fall back into old patterns of making other things a priority instead of connection. I mean, I hadn't completely fallen back into it, but this was like another reminder. Get rid of anything that isn't important. Just focus back on connections, connections, connections. And, you know, they don't, it's not like I have to connect with everybody in the whole world. It's more about strengthening the connections I already have. That's what's important to me.
Yeah. And as I was saying before, ventral vagal is how we connect with others. And basically this is higher self, ventral vagal, heart connection, co-regulation and co-creation comes from that.
Yeah.
Simple
yeah.
as that. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. By the way, going back to the world, you know, how life comes to you. This is in my abundance guru's wedding. I made a speech, which I wrote out. So she's original from the South Pacific. And in that area, I mean, you know, the book, The Secret, it was written, I think, by the author is from, I think, New Zealand or Australia.
South Pacific, anyway, yeah.
So it's that area, right? And The Secret is about manifestation. And then I kind of like, in my way, in my Moon Mercury way, I tied things up, you know, I related things and I go, this is interesting. So basically, I don't know if you know, remember the Kon-Tiki? Remember how there was this explorer who decided to recreate the Kon-Tiki and try to navigate the Pacific from one shore to an island or whatever? You know, it's like, I don't know how many miles.
Is he the Norwegian guy?
I think so. Yeah. So, you know, these scientists with their scientific mind trying to figure out how they did it. But the truth is, like, and this is also a fact, and then the last bit is my thing. But the fact is that the way they navigated was they basically just sat on the rafts and they summoned the island and rowed. That's all they did. And for them, it's the island comes to them. They don't go to the island. They do the rowing thing, but it's the island that comes to them because they've summoned it.
They take the action. Yeah.
Yeah, but this is manifestation.
They have the thought. They take an action in at least to help, you know, start the process.
To be in coherence. To be in coherence.
To be in coherence.
I want to go to, so I connect, I realize I want to go to the island. So it's feeling the thing. So I grow. And that's manifestation. It's letting things come to you.
Yes.
It's not going after things.
Yes. So I wanted to go to Valencia. So I got in the car and started on the road.
And Valencia automatic. So I get on my G-Wagon. Everything is automatic.
Yeah.
And the car takes me there.
Yeah.
I'm manifesting
at exactly the right time in a way that is with grace and ease and consciousness. And it's a knowing that it has to come or equal or better has to come to you. That's the trust. Yeah.
Yeah. So all you have to do is row.
Yeah.
Go forward. And that brings us to, the dark night of the soul is, you can say, it's like the crossing of the fourth dimension. So in the third dimension, we live like, we're very basic. Things are just happening to us, but it's everybody's fault that things don't go well. In the fourth dimension, you realize that there's nobody else. It's only you. But then you have to see and deal with all your crap. All of it is like
radical responsibility. That's what I call taking radical responsibility for everything.
Exactly. So then by inertia, you end up turning into a chicken without a head, trying to fix everything.
That's a choice. Yeah.
This, that. Oh, this is broken. I have to fix it. This is broken. I have to fix it. What can I do? What should I do? What should I do? Tell me.
Yeah. Except that at that stage, it's in here. Oh, I'm broken. I have to fix me. I have to fix me. I have to fix me. I'm broken.
Yes, but you're still outsourcing in that stage. You're still outsourcing.
Yeah.
What's the help, even if it's you. So because you're seeing you from outside, you're feeling guilty about yourself. to project guilt, you have to do it from the outside. So basically, you're observing yourself from the outside, looking inside, thinking, oh, you're stupid, you're guilty. You have to do things better, work more to get it fixed. And there's always something in the past to fix. So basically, you're looking backwards into the past, which is, you don't want to put your energy there.
Recreating it again in the front, in the future.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, Medusa, you know, the, I think it was Jason and the Argonauts, Jason?
Yeah.
And Medusa, was it Jason? Well, one of these heroes, Greek heroes. They said, don't look back. If you look back and you look at Medusa, you turn into a pillar of salt, right? So you crystallize. You paralyze. Low Capricorn is crystallization. It's you get fixed. You get fixed. There's no flexibility. You're stuck there.
Yeah.
Right? So don't look at the past. And this is what happens when we go through the dark night of the soul or the fourth dimension, because we start to look at the past and we lose our energy and our focus, we start crystallizing. And this is what leads to the dark night of the soul.
Yes. Okay. And
kidney stones.
Nettle seed, please. Great for kidney stones or kidney gravel. Okay. So that brings me to all your stories about your ancestors and the trauma and everything you went through in your life and the previous lives, and that's all looking backwards. Now, I can see that there's a value to acknowledging it. And yeah, but going too deep into it is just going down the wrong direction. It's going down the dark lane instead of going towards the light. You know, it's like, so yeah, we need to, do we? I think at this point, I think I've always been a bit like, I mean, it's interesting when I hear something that resonates about my past or past lives or whatever, but actually there is only here and now. There is only here and now. And if that helps me to kind of understand myself a little bit more of where I am or who I am, or that's only useful if I'm bringing it, that information, you know, not the information, but if I'm bringing the I need to leave it there, accept that it's part of what got me to here. And right here, right now, is my moment on the crest of the wave to create something different.
Yeah, I think the idea is that we learn to balance, to always have like our energy, because it's almost inevitable, at least for me, like I'm a Scorpio rising, and it's really difficult not to, like, I've known for many years now that don't put your energy in the past, put it in the future. And it slips every now and then, it slips. And I tell people and I warn people, but it slips. And this happens. So I think it's interesting to weigh, you know, and how much energy do you want to put in the past? Like, okay, you know, you have this ancestral issue and my Saturn Pisces fourth house, that of insecurity, of loss of houses, of bombings and wars and all these issues, you know, I know I have this. Okay. But let's not feed into it. Let's not entertain it. Let's not dedicate too much time into doing this. The thing is that you were saying we need to understand, and it's true, we need to understand there are patterns, because that's going to help us go into Sagittarius, have faith and see it from a higher perspective. But then we can go into low Sagittarians and say, oh, this is my truth. This is me.
Yeah.
And then we're stuck.
I don't think it's useful. Yeah. Then you're stuck. Yeah.
So we have to learn to let go, which is Pisces energy and high vibration.
Well, yeah. Okay. And we could have a whole other conversation about letting go, but it's really, for me, it's that knowledge that I can lean back against everything that has come before. Right up to this moment, right? This moment, everything is there. I can lean back into that because I know I am sitting here right now Yeah, cushions. I've got my cushions behind too. I can lean back into it. And
This is kidneys leaning back. It's kidneys.
Yes, it
I'm
is.
supported by my ancestors.
I'm
Let's just put a
supported.
pillow back here.
Yeah,
You
yeah.
feel it.
Or tie a silk scarf around your kidneys. Yeah. It's that gives me a great sense of achievement, even though it's not all my achievement, but I've gotten to here and I'm still alive, you know, and I'm still breathing. And luckily, you know, I'm very grateful that I have a magical life. However, you know, somebody else looking at my life mightn't think it's magical. You know, it's my life. I'm, you know, and it, I've, all of that crap that came before has gotten me to here, so I'm grateful for it.
Yeah, very important.
I'm so grateful for, especially for everything, but it's, no, I'm not even going to say that. I'm grateful for everything equally, I'm going to say, for all the love and support and for all the trials and obstacles and challenges. Equally, I'm grateful for them because they've all gotten me here in this happy place that I'm at. Even if I'm not happy, because I'm not always happy, I know that that will pass. And as I know that this will pass, it'll go up and down. But I've survived so much crap that I know I can pretty much survive anything. Now, I mean, I will die at some point, and but I'll survive that process too. Like, I mean, I'll get through it, is what I mean. And that's okay. I've nothing to, there's nothing to fear. I had this kind of idea that I was watching waves crashing up against the rocks, and you know, watching the little droplets kind of go. And I thought, that's my life. That little, you know, that
That
tiny,
hyperbole.
yeah, that's my life. And I'm, it's like I'm just, it's like it being pushed on a swing by, you know. And I'm going, for me, it's my father. You know, I'm being pushed on a swing by my father, who I completely and utterly trust is not going to do anything to harm me. Whether that's your actual physical father or a metaphorical father, it doesn't matter. But I trust this push, and I'm being pushed out, and it's absolutely terrifying and wonderful at the same time, you know, and I'm going, wee! And even I know that even if I fall off, all I'm going to have a soft landing because I'm just falling back into the ocean, which I am. There's no hard floor. I'm just falling back into the ocean, and then I'm going to go, you know, when's my turn again? When's my turn again? Can I go? And it's like I can either go, wee, or I can go, oh, you know.
Yeah, but this is trust.
That's
Trust
the
is the key.
trust. And if I keep looking back to, you know, where or down, I'm going to miss the fun of the flight.
The trust issue is like having trust issues is a real physical thing. So when our body is riddled by past trauma, it has to be released from our body. So this is why adrenal fatigue, burnout, it actually helps, or even autoimmune disease help us relax our muscles so we
Yes.
can shake off that trauma. No, and then it's fascinating because what I've observed in myself that I don't get this, like I very seldom get a trembling response, which is ideal because there's where you're shaking off trauma. If you don't shake this off, so what's happened in my body is that like as I do exercise and everything, my muscles tighten up, so it appears as if it's strong, but in fact it's weak and blocked. And the weak muscles inside, because they are blocked, they cannot actually release the trauma. And this has to do with trust issues.
Yes.
So I think in any way we can support our body to release that through physical therapies, psychophysical therapies, trauma release exercise, or supplements like ashwagandha or whatever, we can support our body through the process. You realize that you're resisting and your body's resisting because of lack of trust. So it's, and at the same time, you know, like listening to us or to experiences like us, to get this view, this higher Sagittarius view that it's okay. And at the same time, support your body so your body can register that in fact it's okay.
Because I don't know if you remember, but I went through about literally 3 months of almost every night. I mean, I was kind of, I'm given a night off every now and then just to sleep, but almost every night I went to bed, I lay in bed and shook and convulsed and screamed and growled and made these really strange sounds were coming up out of me. And it was really freaking uncomfortable, really uncomfortable. And you know, just contraction, convulsion, shaking, fear, anger, anxiety, any label you could put on it. It was coming and going. I didn't even have time to kind of label it. But the thing is, I just surrendered to the process. There was something innate in me told me, this is just like adrenaline, like a deer shaking off and attacked by a lion.
That's
just
it.
My body expelling these
the residual
these
trauma.
Energies. These
yeah,
energies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I literally kind of just surrendered to it and observed it.
Yeah.
And I didn't worry that, oh God, I have to be up early or I have to do anything tomorrow. I just let it happen. And you know what? I got through the next day, even if I was exhausted or whatever. And, you know, and every two or three nights, my body would just sleep. And then the process would start again. And I just, about 3 months I went through of that. And
Perfect.
Do you know what? I got so used to it that it was like, oh yeah. You know, I don't even know if I told anybody I was going through it. It's only in hindsight that I remember it. Like, because the next day I would just get up and get on. And then at night I would just let it go. And it still happens every now and then. But, you know, but then you see, I have this innate trust that I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And
when did we think that convulsion is a bad thing? When did we think that shaking off and trembling is a bad thing? I mean, as a society, no? Because this is the healthiest thing. This is your dark night of the soul. This is what we need to do. We need to lose muscle mass to be able to release all that trauma stored in our body that doesn't let us, because trauma basically it's related to fascia. Fascia is, for me, is the organ that translates information into the body and outside the body into the energy field. And fascia goes hard and dry when there are patterns. And the more traumatic, the harder and the drier and the more fixed it is. And what we need to have is a very supple and flexible fascia, very hydrated, right? Again, kidneys. Again, kidneys.
Yes.
So it moves and it releases easier that stored trauma. If not, we just keep on perpetuating the trauma and the register of that trauma in our body. And we need to release it. We need to shake it off.
Yeah, which is like, you know, the doing non-doing of Taoism. And it's, you know, martial arts. It's going with the flow. It's bamboo versus, you know.
Oak tree.
Yeah. It is being flexible and move, being able to move without that fixed story about who we are or what we are or why we are. You know, it's just letting it go, being prepared. And yeah, so how do you, I mean, the way I think I've built my trust in that everything's going to be okay is just by having that gratitude, by taking the stories that I, you know, that have built up over the past, the good and bad, and actually seeing
that it makes sense,
that it makes sense with hindsight. I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for that awful thing that happened. I wouldn't be here now if that good thing hadn't happened, if I hadn't met that person, or, you know, but it all adds up to me being right here right now.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes maybe people have to actually learn to see the benefits that has, accept that they have actually had a benefit from the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in hindsight, you know, and see that in fact it has worked out for them in the end.
Yeah. And this is so many people's experience.
Yeah. And that's mine, the too. Radical responsibility, mine completely. That's, you know, but and you know, again, the radical responsibility, I used to think being responsible was, you know, all the boring, terrible things I had to do, the chores, the taxes, the blah, blah, blah. And I suddenly realized I'm responsible for my own happiness.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm responsible for my own. I alone am 100% responsible for my own happiness. Nobody else.
Yeah.
And when I'm 100% happy, then everybody in my universe is happy. And, you know, what makes me happy is that everybody in my universe is happy. It's not having, you know, the chocolate or the everything that mine and not sharing it. It's like, that's what makes me happy, you know. Yeah. So every moment, I'd love to be this all the time if I didn't slip, but I do slip. But I know that, you know, if I put my energy, my focus, and my whatever little bit of money that I have into investing in my happiness, then that's what will ultimately bring heaven to earth.
Exactly. And it's, how can I be happy? So how can choose? It's about choosing happiness in the moment. Not like, how can I be happy? Well, if I get a new car, I'm going to be happy. No. It's choosing happiness in the moment. It's like, right now. What's my
happiness
energy?
Might be a sip of water or tea, or, you know, happiness might be something, just getting up out of bed or having a shower. It doesn't have to be anything massive.
Yeah, it's choose joy.
Yeah,
right here, right now. Choose joy. Choose happiness. By the way, there's when on the solstice, like on the 21st, I think it is. Well, when the sun gets into Cancer now, this month in June, 2023, there's a stellium in Leo. It's a whole bunch of planets in Leo. So,
okay. So stellium means when there's a lot of planets all together. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So low Leo is look at me, give me, give me. High Leo is joy.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's the sun, you know, and the sun doesn't shine for its own sake, and it doesn't choose who it's shining on. It just is.
Yeah. It just is. And that's all that we have to do.
Oh, and it is, the kind of father, isn't it? Like, it's the king. It's the
It's the father, the masculine, the son. Mm-hmm. So that's, and all you have to do is be. That's all Leo has to do. Poor Leos, they suffer because they have to learn to be.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and it's enough. And it's enough. But, you know, and we all have every bit of the zodiac in us at some point, you know.
Yes.
We're all a bit of everything. So, you know, that's all we all have to learn, really, is it's enough. I'm enough. Just being, not doing, not, you know, because life comes to us. I don't have to actually take a step, because there's a little bit of like, I'm constantly like a glacier, constantly have this push at my back of evolution.
Yeah.
That's just
yeah.
gently pushing me forward.
Yeah.
And the future is always there to catch me.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? Yeah.
And,
but we do have to focus, so it helps to think, feel, and do in the same direction, because otherwise we get sidetracked.
Totally.
So it's important to be focused, which is why when we summon the island, we have to roll.
Yes, yes, yes. But also, if we don't end up at that island and we end up at the other island instead, just go, oh, that's interesting.
Exactly, and accept things as they are. And
yeah.
just play with it. So, and be mindful of yourself. And if you're crashing, if you're getting stuck, just take care of your inner baby. First you mother it. And when it's okay, then you father it and, you know, create the container and give yourself your own inner sense of security, which will allow you to connect with a higher trust, with a higher vision.
Yes, but it may not be instant. And, you know, and it's to accept that it's not about an instant fix. Oh, well, I'm mothering myself, and now why is it still here? You know, it is that thing of, if you keep checking to see, is it there, it will be there.
Yeah.
You've got to just trust that it will go in its own place, in its own
Schroeder's
time.
Cat.
Yeah.
It's there when you look at it.
Yeah.
It's alive when you look at it. It dies when you don't look at it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's totally, you know, focus on what you want, not what you don't want.
Yeah.
And don't keep checking to see, is it gone?
No.
Just accept that it's there for the time that it's there, and just get on as best you can within
and
that.
Do
it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
And you're enough, and there's nothing to fix, and there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It's part of the process. It's part of the journey. And relax and stop resisting it and trying to fix it, and then you won't notice it so much.
Exactly. And just do little things to make yourself be happy moment to moment.
Yeah. And if that's because I'm exhausted, I need to sleep.
Sleep.
See that?
Pamper yourself. Yeah.
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 Cool.
Well, thank you, Liz. That was great.
Yes, thank you, Gayo. I love talking about all this stuff. It's my favorite pastime.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, so we got to do it again someday.
Lovely. Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Gracias por escuchar este episodio del podcast de Vivir desde el Ser. Si te gustó el contenido y los temas que hemos abordado, dale a me gusta, suscríbete a mi canal, comparte este episodio con quien crees que lo pueda necesitar y te invito a visitar mi web, vivirdesdeelser.com, y a seguirme en las redes.